Welcome to Torah Yomecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Vav. Chapter 6 continues with the inauguration of the temple. The last verse of the previous perek recorded that the Kohanim, priests, were not able to serve because the Anan, cloud, had filled the temple. Shlomo responds to this and says, Az Amar Shlomo, Hashem Amar, Lishkon Ba'arafel. Then Shlomo declared, God has chosen to abide in a thick cloud. When the Anan cloud, Arafel darkness, filled the temple, Shlomo saw that all that he had hoped for came true, that the presence of God was manifest within the Holy of Holies. Rashi says that he knew this because at Har Sinai, we read, V'ya'amod ha'am merachok, u'moshe nigash el ha'arafel, asher sham ha'elokim. So the people remained at a distance while Moshe approached the thick cloud where God was. So Shlomo deduced that from the presence of the cloud and the darkness, Hashem was now in the temple. Rashi continues that Shlomo concluded that Hashem's presence in the Arafel was in the temple as Hashem had promised to do just that. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe daber el Aron achicha, va'al yavo b'chol eit el ha-kodesh mi-beit la-parochet el pnei ha-kaporet asher al ha-aron, v'lo yamut ki be'anan e-ra'e al ha-kaporet. Hashem said to Moshe, tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come at will into the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain, in front of the cover that is upon the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud upon the cover. Shlomo continues and declares, Va'ani baniti beit zvul lach u'machon l'shiftecha olamim. I have built for you a stately house and a place where you may dwell for all eternity. Now that the temple has been built, it would be Hashem's eternal resting place. No other site would ever be chosen for the temple. And from here on in, bamot, private altars would be forbidden. Then Shlomo turned toward the people, Vayasev HaMelech et Panav, in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, and blessed the nation while the entire nation stood, the Kol Gahal Yisrael Omeid. This is because halachically, only kings from the house of David may sit in the courtyard. Ein yeshiva ba'azara ela l'malchei beit David bilvad. A fact that will be significant later in our studies. The bracha, blessing, begins in verse 4. Vayomer baruch Hashem elkei Yisrael, asher diber b'piv et David avi ubiadav milei lemor. He said, blessed is the eternal God of Israel, who made a promise to my father David and fulfilled it. Shlomo proceeds to then retell how David wanted to build the temple, and Hashem said that he had good intentions, but he could not build it. And instead, his son will be the one to build God's house. And now the promise has been fulfilled. He concludes by saying he built the house for God and brought the Aron, the Ark, to its rightful place. The rest of the chapter, 40 verses, is Shlomo's prayer. He stood up, facing the whole congregation, and spread out his hands. Shlomo began by praising God, as all prayer must be preceded by God's praises. Vayomer Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Ein kamocha Elokim b'shamayim u'ba'aretz, shomer habrit v'hachesed, la'avadecha ha'ochim lefanecha b'chol libam. O eternal God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heavens and on the earth. You who steadfastly maintain the covenant with your servants, who walk before you with all their heart. Then Shlomo prays that as long as his descendants follow in God's ways, Hashem should keep his promise to David that the Davidic dynasty will be eternal. Shlomo then reflects on an infinite God dwelling in a temple built by man that is by definition limited by time and space. He asks in a rhetorical question, Ki ha'umnam yoshev ha'elokim et ha'adam al ha'aretz, hinei ha'shamayim u'shmei ha'shamayim lo yichal kalucha, af ki ha'bayit hazeh asher baniti. Does God really dwell with mortals on earth? Even the heavens, to their uttermost reaches, cannot contain you, how much less this house that I've built? The answer is that, of course, Hashem cannot be confined to a specific place or location. Which leads Shlomo to ponder, then what does it mean that God's presence dwells in the temple? He answers that it is a concentrated, focused hub through which Israel's prayers flow. Let us take a moment and explore this idea. We have discussed that the Anan, the cloud, and Arafel, the darkness, indicate that God's presence is in fact in the temple. So is Hashem there, or is it just a concentrated location for prayers to flow? Our rabbis in the Midrash definitely believe that God resides in the Mikdash and explain it through the following parable. God is analogous to a king who had an only daughter. One of the other kings came and took her as a wife and sought to go to his land and take his wife with him. The father said to him, "My daughter, whom I gave to you, is an only child. To part from her, I am unable. To say you do not take her, I am unable because she is your wife. Rather, do this favor for me. Wherever you go, prepare a small bedroom for me so I can live with you, as I cannot forsake my daughter." So too, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Israel, "I gave you the Torah. To leave it, I am unable. To say to you, do not take it, I am unable. Rather, every place you go, build a house for me, so I may reside in it. As it is stated, Va'asu li mikdash, they shall craft a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." God is a loving father who is sad about parting from his daughter and asks his son-in-law to create a small room for him so that he can always remain in close proximity. The Beit HaMikdash is that room. Yet Shlomo says just a few verses later, "V'shamata el tachnunei avdecha v'amcha Yisrael, arsher yitzpalu el ha-makom hazeh, v'ata tishma mimakom shiftecha min ha-shamayim v'shamata v'salachta." And when you hear the supplications that your servant and your people Israel offer toward this place, give heed in your heavenly abode. Give heed and pardon. It seems that Shlomo is wrestling with this concept and trying to reconcile the idea of God being in the heavens and at the same time dwelling in the temple. The Ramban analyzes this prayer of Shlomo's when discussing the tabernacle in Exodus. He notes that when Hashem spoke to Moshe, His voice came down in a fiery flame from the heavens. Min hashamayim yishma'acha et kolo liyasracha, va'al ha'aretz ra'acha et isho hagdola, udvarav shamata mitocha esh. From the heavens, God let you hear the divine voice to discipline you. On earth, God let you see the great divine fire. And from amidst that fire, you heard God's words. On the one hand, God's fire communicates with Moshe from within the Holy of Holies, but the voice descends from heaven. The Ramban continues to point out that Shlomo hints at this duality in his inaugural prayer by consistently using the language that says that Hashem is Shomeya, listening, from Shamayim, from the heavens. We are praying in the Beit HaMikdash, and God is listening to us and our prayers from the heavens. Shlomo then proceeds to outline all the various reasons why one might pray, such as the Jewish people being attacked by an enemy, or if there is a drought or famine. He beseeches Hashem to hear their tefillot and answer them. At first glance, this makes perfect sense, that the temple should be a place where any prayer can be said and hopefully answered. But the truth is, if we pause to think about it, when the Torah discusses the tabernacle, it focuses primarily on sacrifices or the Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage holidays. Shlomo is focusing on prayer and not mentioning any of the other functions. How do we understand that? I think we can explain it based on what we know about Shlomo's father, David. His entire focus when wanting to build the temple was on finding a permanent place for the Aron, the Ark. And there is a special affinity between David and prayer, as it says in Psalms, "Va'ani tefillah, as for me, I am prayer." We know that it is specifically the Ark, which is the ultimate focus of our prayers. We learn in the Gemara, Bracha 30a, that when praying outside the land of Israel, one is to turn toward Israel. When in Israel, he should turn to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem toward the temple. Within the temple, he is to turn to the Holy of Holies. If he is in the Holy of Holies, he is to turn toward the Kaporet, the cover of the Ark. We can now understand why David's dream was to build the temple as a home for the Ark, since it is central to prayer. And since Shlomo began his inaugural prayer with a review of his father's desire to build the temple, it makes sense that he would emphasize the most significant aspect of the temple to his father. This also explains why Shlomo then entreats Hashem to listen to the prayer of the non-Jew. When we view the Mikdash as a place where sacrifices are offered, it has a uniquely Jewish character. As a house of prayer, though, its attraction is universal. Shlomo then prays that when Bnei Israel turn to God during times of war, he even answer them when they are not in the temple. Let it suffice that they turn their hearts toward the temple from wherever they are. Shlomo concludes his prayer with language reminiscent of Psalms 132, where David spoke of how he tried to find a resting place for the ark because now the ark is in its official resting place. Ve'ata kuma Hashem Elokim lanuchecha, ata va'aron uzecha. And now arise, Hashem, to your resting place, you and the ark, the symbol of your might. This shiur is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedalyahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shiva Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.